We're holding on to Tzadik on the base in Perek Chelek. So we were in the middle of the various Ramazim with the Tzias HaNesim in Atera, and we were holding four lines up from the bottom of Amud Beis. Sha'ala Cleopatra Malketad Rabbi Meir. So Cleopatra asks Rabbi Meir, she says, Amra Yadana Bechayeshichli, I have no doubts about the fact that the Mesim will be Chayim. Yitziva Yatsitsum, the ear, case of Horus. But those Mesim that will pop up in Yerushalayim after going through the Mechilas underground in order to come to Eretz Yisrael from all over the world, they will pop up like the Ace of Horus, like grass from the earth. What I'd like to know is that Kishin Omdim, Omdim Arumim, Obilavushayim Omdim. I'd just like to know, do they pop up like in their birthday suits, or do they pop up dressed? Amala Kalvachomer Mechita. It's a Kalvachomer. Uma Chita Shenigbara Aruma Yotza Bekamalavushin. You take a Chita. It's a pretty naked thing. I mean, a little seed. It's been stripped of all of its nice coverings. And nonetheless, when it grows up, it comes out and all incredibly dressed, very well dressed, nice little fur all around it, and so on. And it's tzadikim shenigborim belavushayim. So tzadikim are buried in their lavush, alachat kama v'kama. Obviously, not literally referring to a lavush, but the lavush of a tzadik is the lavush of the Zohar says, of the days of his life. So Koshikin, that's not lost, not a rabba. That's something that is becomes more and more part of him.
We're not
talking
about him or something?
No. Amrita v'shich v'chayi. Caesar says to Rabbi Gamliel, you guys claim that the dead live. This, of course, was during the time in which there was so much Judaization of the Romans, that the men were going bananas, and there's all the women have been going, this is right at the Christian turnover, that's when they took advantage of it. But all the women were mamish converting to Judaism all over. So here, we had a lot of conversations in which the family members of the Romans take the side of the Jews. So here, Caesar says to Rabbi Gamliel, Amrita v'shich v'chayi, you claim that the dead live. I don't get you, man. The Afra, as far as I know, the dead become dust. The Afra Mikachai, who ever heard of dust living? Omer Leibarte says, his daughter, Caesar's daughter, says to him, I'm Leo Shavke, hold up, I'll answer. Anima Adranale. I'll give him an answer. Shnei Yotrin Yeshbi Yirenu. We have two manufacturers in town. Echad Yotzer Min Amayim. One of them makes Kalim out of liquid. The other one uses the regular stuff, clay. Is there man Mishubach? Which one would you say is a more creative manufacturer? I would say somebody who can use water for making Kalim is pretty darn good. So she says to him, well, God could use a little drop of semen and he gets it moving. I mean, this is liquid. He'd certainly be able to use some nice solid dirt. I mean, that's something that makes much more sense, doesn't it? Devei Rabbi Yishmol Tana, in the Rabbi Yishmol, they learned that the answer that she said to Caesar was as follows. Kavuchomer mikli zikuchit. That you can learn this from glass. Essentially, glass, maklit zkuchit, she'amalan beruach basar vadam. How do you have to blow glass. And that means that the kli is omade, essentially, from the breath that a human puts into it. And if it breaks, nishburu, yeshlan takana, you can still rebuild it, just remelt it, and start over again. So, a basar vadam, a human being, who is essentially omade beruchot shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first place, so halachat kama v'kamai. Should we rebuild them?
Instead of using Dimyon, instead of using a comparison, couldn't they use the example of Kenny, the Mach of Kenny from dust?
Well, I mean, I want to talk about something that is humans. You're saying if you believe in spontaneous generation, what's the kasha? I mean, everybody held the spontaneous generation. Huh? That's a very good point. Why would anybody be troubled by the fact that it offered? And as a matter of fact, the Gemara actually gives an example of this later on. Why would anybody be troubled by the fact that dust should become life? This is a common belief that dust becomes life. Yeah, it's a very good point. I'll try thinking of it as we go through the daf. Maybe we'll come up with an answer. Amalayahu mina l'rabiyami. Amrita b'shichvechaye. A certain mean, said to Rabbi, you know, you guys claim that the dead live. Havi afram, afram yikachaye. Becomes dust. How does dust live? Amalei, emsholoch ha-mashal. L'ma ha-davar domer. L'melach basar v'adam, sh'amar la v'adav l'chu, v'luli platrin g'dolim b'makom she'in mayim v'afar. Maybe a king commands his servants, go build me this fabulous palace in a place where there are no building materials. And they go ahead and they build it indeed. After some time, the palace falls into disrepair. This time, go build it in a regular place. You got lots of dust, you got lots of dirt, water, make bricks, whatever you want. No, no way to do that. Too difficult. Kaasaleya. What are you guys, crazy? The makom she'ein mayim v'afar b'nitem. Achshav she'ish mayim v'afar l'chad kama v'kama. You were able to create a world out of tohu. There's nothing there. So that's not a problem. So now we got a problem because now we have building materials. Now you're all worried. So how are we going to rebuild the heichal? That doesn't make any sense. I think I know the answer to your question. The inyanim that are built with spontaneous generation were always generic things that were never viewed completely as alive. All right, there's no issue in killing them on Shabbos. It doesn't have the same tzura of chiyus. But the question that he's asking is, can life, that which we identify as really independent life, reproducing life, can that come possibly from our front? You never see such a thing.
Kinim doesn't count as complete.
And the kinim are that they don't reproduce. I'm saying from the point of view of spontaneous generation. So anything that doesn't reproduce is not fully nageh, so there's no neshama, there's no netilas neshama. That was viewed the way we would view computer life.
Right.
It's like an android. Of course you can make androids out of silicon. I mean, that's no question, but we're asking, that's the way they viewed it. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting. You see the depths of that. It answers for me. No. It answers a big question that I've always had, and I'm so very happy you brought it up. Because Lamais, it's very strange. The religious reaction to evolution is really absurd. Because I mean, if you have no problem believing that dirt self organizes, you know, over the course of a night into living creatures, so what is your problem of thinking that it's a problem? That it's difficult for Earth to self-organize over millions of years. I mean, it sounds crazy. What's the objection, B'chol? But maybe this is the underlying issue, that they never really related to spontaneous generation as a real life, but that real life should also self-organize, came as a shock. But it must be that. I mean, otherwise, psychologically, it just seems so silly. Forget about philosophically. You're used to the idea of life emerging from non-life, sort of. And then it's back in.
They only had these ephemeral forms that would come from dust. The ephemeral, they didn't consider it, like you said, a building block of ephemeral, they didn't consider it, you know, like a real life in a sense.
I see. Oh. I wish I never saw that. Okay. That sort of makes sense. Okay, Yeshua Kach to both of you. So, continues the Sukkah. Ve'im i'ata ma'amin, and if you don't believe that this is the case, say le'bik'ah, you can go out into the valley, u'ra'i akbar, shayom chetzio basar, v'chetzio adama, l'machar hishrits v'na'aseh kulo basar. You can find a certain type of mouse, which today is half flesh and still half undeveloped earth, and by tomorrow it's already completely formed. This is based on a sugya in Chulin. It's very interesting. The Rambam has in the Pirush HaMishnayos a footnote to this, to that sugya. This is appears in a Mishnah, Chetzio Basar and Chetzio Adama, and he says this sounds utterly insane, totally irrational. But I must tell you that dozens of people have told me that they've seen it. So I don't know what to say about this. what's even more fascinating is that the Tiferet Yisroel in that Mishnah says that people laugh at this, but I have found it mentioned in Linkitz's Ure Welt on page 173. He quotes this thing. So apparently until very recently, it lives in Egypt, you know, and it gives the location and so on. Until very recently, people were actually seeing this.
They quoted a science journal?
Yeah, a science journal.
Wait, what mission is that?
In Chulin, I don't remember exactly where. Shema Tomar Lezman Merubah. You think that it takes a long time? You mean that's not something that could happen? That God says, you know, let the mason live, and so on. No, there's Aleilaha. Go up on a mountain, and you'll see Hayom. The gears of the Oroth makes more sense. Hayom Ein Sham Chilazon Afilu Echad. You can't find a single chilazon on the ground. L'mocher Yardu Geshamim. It rains, and the whole mountain is covered with these little crawling chilazons. You know, where they come from? It doesn't take a long time for this thing to be mashrit.
Chilazon is not a mountain, though.
Well, it depends which chilazon the Rashi brings it. Achas b'shivim shana. You know, that's one of the chilazon. Is that a chilazon?
I'm watching
everyone.
I'm listening.
Is that it's to the ground, so you know, might as well go all the way up. And Gevia ben Tassisa was a rather humorous hunchback. And he appears quite often in the Gemara. And a certain min says to him, "Ay, vayla tonecha yava. Yeah, you know, you vicious Jews, you're always making up these stories. Amritin meitin chayin. You say that the dead lives. The chayin meiti, the meiti chayin. You know, you ever saw an entropic world run backwards? Things that live die, and the things that die live. I mean, come on, what's the matter with you? Next thing you're going to tell me is that the bottle of milk that spilled this morning just went backwards and went and filled up, and then all the glass came back together. I mean, it's totally imagination. On my lay, so Gevir ben Tassisa says back to my vaylachon chayav. On the contrary, you're vicious. Damritan meite lochay for saying such an absurdity that the dead don't live. As you're looking at it from the purely physical point of view, you've got a problem with entropy. Now look at it from an existential point of view. The lohav of that which didn't exist at all, chayi, came into existence. So the hav is something that was already in existence. I mean, what's the problem? Well, of course, it's just a simple physical problem. That's your problem. On my way, so the mean says to him, chayyavaya karitali, you call me vicious? Oh, man, he came to fight, get up. By eating a bacha, I'll give you one big kick up shita like mutchanina. I'll get rid of that hunchback for you. On my way, so Gevia says. That's right. On my way, so he says to him, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you could do that, rofeu manti kare, they'll give you a doctorate. Uscha harbeit he told you'll be able to charge an awful lot of money for doing that." The first guy. Things haven't changed much. I'll give you a big kick.
I'll get up and show you.
With a big kick. Tana Rabban, Be'asrim v'arba'a b'nisan, itnatilo di musnai mi'yuda v'yerushalayim. So this is a braisa that appears in Megillat Ta'anit. It's one of the days in which it's usher. So when we know in Megillat Ta'anit, it's one of the days in which it's usher. It's a fast, it's a hispanin. And on that 24th day of Nisan, the enemies, and those who threatened to take over Yehuda v'yerushalayim, were defeated. What was the maisa? Kishabo b'nei Africa, Ladonim Yisrael, l'fnei Alexander's Mokadon. Apparently, Africans brought suit to Alexander, and Omru lo, Eretz Canaan shelanu, being as we are the descendants of Canaan, then this land of the Jews is actually ours. Dechtiv, Eretz Canaan, l'gvulotar, it says before in the Torah, it's called Eretz Canaan, and gives the gvulot of Eretz Canaan, so the Torah itself is saying it's ours. Ukanana Gundanu in Shihavi, Kdan was our forefather. Marlahu Gaviya ben Basisa Lakachamim. So this same Gaviya ben Basisa, the hunchback, said to the Chachamim, you know what? Tnu Lirish was give me the right to go to that Bezdin in front of Alexander. I'll try to answer them up. Alexander's Mokadam. Imenatzchuni, if they win, so then you come and you appeal the ruling. You say, what do you mean? That's an idiot. We have the Sisa. Had Yotshaban and Itzakhtam, and that's what you call a representative of the Jews. It's Meshuggah. But if I win, so then they'll say, it's obviously only Teras Mesha Nitzakhtam. It can't be this idiot. It's got to be that he simply quotes the Torah. Natula Rishus, Sarachachon, he said, okay, you can represent us. Surreptitiously. V'alach v'dani ma'am, he comes at the court in front of Alexander. Amalam, he says, all right, I'd like to understand clearly the basis of your suit. Me'echan atem me'vim ra'ya. I mean, what do you consider to be valid proof here? Amrulon, not so wrong. We don't need it. No other proof. Just your guide. You have your own book. We'll bring your proof from your own book. Amalam, fine. Okay. Then it's decided that we use the Torah as the sole basis of the diyun. Fine. This will be the basis of the diyun. Right, now it says in the Holy Book, I haven't heard that was abrogated, and that means that you yourselves, having said that you come from Knan, actually, I have a better idea. You're right, it is yours, but Eved Shekana Nechasim, Eved Lami Unechasim Lami, besides the Nechasim, I think by your own admission, we should take you back. this was a serious issue because Alexander wasn't going to put up. If that's the case, Marlon Alexander, you know, Tare Kama Shalim Shalom Avadatono. It's been years since we had any of you guys working in the house. I think it's time to come home. Marlon Alexander Smolka, you have an answer for that? It sounds like a serious countersuit. Give us a couple of days, and it comes as a surprise. So Tnu Lanu Zman Shlosha Yamim, we'll be back in 3 days. Natan Lem Zman, meanwhile they're going wild to try to find an answer. Batku V'lo Matzur Tshuva, I didn't find an answer. They decide it's time to get out of town before we end up in chains. Miad Borchu, they left town, V'nichus Tzotehem Kishen Zroot, they left their fields completely already plowed and ready to be harvested. Karmayam Shein Netuot, they had all of their vineyards ready for taking. And you know what? It was not a blessing. It was a shriya. I'm having to eat. It was gemolik. And it was another maisa. Shuv pa'am achat bo b'nei Mitzrayim l'duni Yisrael l'tnei Alexander's Mokadon. Amru lo harei omer v'ashem natan etchei na'am b'nei Mitzrayim v'yashilu. Now look, I mean, it says right there in the Holy Book that God put the favor... And they graciously, the Egyptians graciously lent them everything. All we want is for them to return it. I mean, a little bit of interest would help them. It's been a few centuries. Tnu lanu kesef v'zav shenatal temimeno. You owe us a heck of a lot of money. Oh my God, v'yav ben basisa l'chachamim tnu li reshut. V'elech v'adunim ayam l'tnei Alexandros. Im yinat tzchuni, imru lahem, ha! Ed yot shepanu nitzachtam. We'll send you now somebody that can really argue the case. V'imani anatzeach otam if I win. See, Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Nitzachtem. Not in the Roshut. So again, the Pasisa goes to deal with it. V'alach v'dani mahem. Amalehem. Just want to get it clear now. Me'echem atem mevim ra'ya. Amru la mina Torah. Amalehem, fine. And we'll use that as the sole basis of this judgment. Afani lo avilachem ra'ya la mina Torah. Now, I read in the Holy Book, U'moshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'Mitzrayim 30 shana ve'arba me'ot shana. Now, I've got a 430-year, let's see now, population at the end of that time was Shishim Ribu. We can probably figure a fine average for the period. That means you owe us the Schar Avodah of Shishim Ribu times 430, and then averaged out, of course. So the Shishim Ribu Shashibaratem B'Mitzrayim Shloshim Shana V'Avar Me'ot Shana. That works out to, I say, we've got a claim here for 470 trillion, 630 billion. And we'll be happy to take that and we'll return everything we borrowed from you. As a matter of fact, we'll just deduct it off the top. Amal on Alexander's Mogadon. It sounds like an interesting counterfeit, actually. How does your lot of shofar? You guys have an answer for that? Amrulo. We'll certainly bring in an affidavit here. Natanam Zman Batkuvalo Matsu Shuva. They figured, well, it's better to leave town and get into one of these multi-trillion dollar lawsuits. Miyari nichus to dotem, kishen zroot, kamakem, kishen zroot, borchu, votashana shvitaita. It was a tremendous boon for the Jews. Veshuv pa'amachat, there was another suit like this.
There's no
rise
in payment already.
Of course there is. That's the whole story. Obviously, it's in payment.
When
Sukkim
is the...
What are you talking about? She was Abdul and the Farak, and they were slaves, obviously.
But Rabbi, how can you, how would the wheat have been a boon for the Jews, I mean?
Sorry?
How would the wheat have been a boon for the Jews?
You see that there's no Isser in the Karka that belongs to Akum.
So it's the right of Peshitta Space Yosef.
The Chorim. Yeah, they talk about this Gemara, isn't it?
Who says it was an Eretz of the land that they had?
Yeah, well, that's what the suit was.
About getting the land
in Africa? No, they didn't come from elsewhere. They were signing in the kind of
Africans were trying to move up. That's
right. Makes even better sense. The Eilat Tzodot Yishmael Ben Avram. So they come now, Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, and they come to Alexander and say, well, listen, Eretz Canaan is as much ours as theirs. I mean, it's Shalanu v'Shalachem. I mean, we're willing to see two states side by side. Elah Tzodot Yishmael ben Avraham and Elah Tzodot Yitzchak ben Avraham. So, okay, I mean, we're willing to take only half. Omarlam Gevir ben Tassiz al-Chachamim Tznuli Rishut Ve'elech Vadunim and Lefni Alexander Smokanam Imin Atzchuni Imru Hedyot Shibano Nitzachem. We'll send you somebody serious now. Now, I read an holy book. Let's get this straight. Avram gave everything that he owned to Yitzchak. But all of those other sons besides Yitzchak that came from these maidservants, Natana Avram Matanot, he gave them some little booby prize and sent them away. So Av Shenatan Agatin Levanav Bechayav V'shiger Zeh Mi'al Zeh. Let me explain Zeh Zeh. I don't understand. A father makes it very clear who he is passing on the inheritance to, and he provides a booby prize to one of them. He writes them, okay, you take this and scramble. And that's essentially what happened over here. But they're going to come back now and they're going to ask that the will be probated. This is what was done in his lifetime, the clause. So what are we discussing even?
We're including Ishmael among the Bnei Yitzchak.
Apparently. I mean, in the contrast of Kol HaShelol Yitzchak versus Avraham, it seems pretty clear. So you have an answer for that? No, there's not no answer. My mother was in a countersuit, so they didn't have to run away, unfortunately. That's the marker of the problem. My matanot. So, I mean, if he gave everything away that he considered to be his own, so which matanos did he give that he didn't consider to be his own? You know, it was a very interesting chat that Rashi brings. The matanos that he had gotten from Paro were still called matanos by him. He didn't see it as his own. So, kol hashelo, but this he got for free from somebody, but the whole shtick was, sorry, I want to give that away. So he gave that away, and that in fact went to Hagar, and that she belongs anyway with Paro, so it was fine, went back to where it belonged. But the other Pshat Rashi brings this Gemara also. My matanot, I'm going to give me a barabbah, milamecha masar lahem shem tum'ah. He gave them a shem tum'ah, and that became all of the religions in the East, and all the magic, and so on. So much of this is a kishuf, which would be, should we discuss whether that means that it's a riot among the Omar, that the Kishuf is mutter for Akum. It's not considered to be an Avadar or Avadar's Kachovi. Others argue, and they say the Shem Tumah is just to be Makir, the Makir, the Kirkus Hatuma, and so on. That doesn't mean they had a right to actually do Kishuf.
What was his purpose for doing this? What was the purpose of doing
this? I don't know, they have a nice civilization, don't you think? Out there in the East, a lot of Jews are attracted to it. It must have some stuff in it. It's what's left of the search for underlying unity. The only problem is it goes in the wrong direction.
Deliberately in a way that was...
Well, I don't know. It could be it was the way that they had. At least it was the way they were going. So they do. They do take on his ideas. It's just they use it strangely. Fine. He wants to show them the mucker and kedusha for those ideas. But Lamais is a shame. We also have to know Shemus of Tumah. From Avraham. Now we have a lot of discussions, famous discussions between Rebbe and his good friend Antoninus, who of course became, or was at the time, there was also a story in the Gemara about the tunnel that went between Rebbe's home and Antoninus' home. Antoninus had to play the game of being, you know, the powerful Roman Caesar, but nonetheless, they used to talk all the time. So Antoninus asked Rebbe, you know, the goof in the Shamaya Palimus Torah Siman Menadin. Why can't the fact that a human being is a goof in a Shama actually lead to a ptur from any demands of din on him? Because the goof can say, you know, it's the neshama that sins. I mean, Shami Yom Shapir Shami many. The moment the neshama left me alone, I don't do a darn thing. I mean, are any mutal kevin domain bekever? I'm sitting over here like a stone. And what are you going to blame me for sinning? I mean, the moment this idiot left, you look at me. Whereas the neshama says, well, it's obviously the goof that did everything. I mean, Shami Yom Shapir Ashti Mimenu. Since I've left that crummy home, I mean, Yiporachat Pavir Ketzipor, I'm free as a bird. I don't have any problems with these sinning stuff. Amar Leis, the Rebbe says, look, it's a good question, but I'm sure like a mashal, you know? Take this as a fable. Lama Adavar Domeh, Melech Basav Adam Shayel Pardesna, you have this king, and he's got this beautiful orchard, and he wants it kept by people who are not going to damage it. Ayabo Bichorot, no, Bichorot, and he had these beautiful tainim that were growing on it. And so, I mean, you're going to put a shomer there. Who's going to be the shomer of the shomer? So he chooses as the shomer one blind guy and one lame guy. See, these guys can't see it. They're going to see the beautiful because if they can see it, they won't be able to get to it. Perfect. Amalo Higela Suma. So the lame guy says to the blind guy, hey, boy, do I see something pretty. Bikurot no otaniro eba pardes. Bova arkiveni. Why don't I get on your back? And then I'll tell you how to go. Vinivim Moklam, let's bring him and we'll eat them and it'll be great. Rachav Chigera Gabesama. So the lame guy gets on the back of the blind guy. Vivium Viachlu. Now here you have two handicapped people who Lakora can't do anything. There you go. Exactly the same thing. Your body can't do anything, your Neshama can't do anything. They're both handicapped. So anyway, what happens? Liamim Ba Bala Pardes. Amar Lahem, he says, what's going on over here? Bikorot no dechanen. All the finest fruit over here are gone. Amar Lahem, don't look at me. Kum yeshli raglayim alech. I don't even have legs. And how could I possibly have gotten up that tree to get these bikorot? The Shema says, well, certainly don't look at me. And the kum yeshli einayim liros. I can't even see them. And how would I know anything about it? Says the Bala Pardes, it's very nice. He takes the lame man, puts him on the back of a blind man, and beats them up together. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. He puts the goof and the Shema back together again. And then he dons both of them. Shenemar yikra l'shamayim mi'al v'el ha'aretz ladinimo. What's the pshat? Oh, yikra l'shamayim mi'al. He calls unto the heavens. And that refers to the neshama. Shamayim is neshama in Gematria, actually. The Elohim is Ladinimo, and then he called to the earth. The earth provided the body. So between the Shamayim and the earth, Ladinimo will take care of it.
Is this where the Rav got the idea the other day about Chelek, that people still might have be in a Lama Ba, because here it sounds like people that don't deserve a Lama Ba get it, so they get punished again. But
it's not an idea. Another question. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Mipnei ma chama yotzeit b'mizrach v'shokat b'marav? Why does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? Amar le'nu, what kind of dumb question is that? Yavi Yipchad, it would be the other way around. You would have asked me the same question. I mean, why does it rise in the west and set in the east? And as the Rambam says beautifully in the Mar Nevuchim, Any question that would have been exactly the same question based on other information is a dumb question. You know, so what are you going to ask? Why is this the value of Planck's constant? And if it would be a different value, you'd say, why is this the value of Planck? Those are not the, that's the way things are. There has to be values to parameters. That's the value.
Except you never ask why, you ask what?
No, no, even that. He's saying it's not a meaningful thing. You could talk about interrelationships and things, but you can't take a fact that doesn't have any context and say, why is that the fact? It's not a meaningful question. That's the way things are. That's all. He says, no. You missed the question I'm asking. I'm not asking why it rises in the east, particularly it sets in the west. I'm asking you, normally, if you have a home, you go out the front door, you go back into the front door. Over here, the sun is, like I said, it's pretty wild. Goes into the back door, comes back around the front again. That's crazy. If you're coming out, the front door is obviously the east. Go back to the east. But you have to go down in the west for it. So, what's it doing going down in the west? So Rebbe said, that's Kedeli Tain Shalom Lakona. We know that the Shekhinah has always been Ma'arav. So in order to indicate a bow to the Shekhinah, so the sun bows, and that's going down in the west. Shenamu tzva ha-shamayim l'chamish tachavim. Omalei Zatanina says, that's not a good answer. They say ad palgad rakia. Normally when you bow, you don't walk all the way up to the guy's face and bow in his face. Yeah, you bow from far away, and then you go back. So the sun should go basically up till the middle of the rakia. V'titein shalma, go a little bit to the west, bow down. V'teul, and then go back home. Oh, that's his Rebbe. That's true. But it'd be very confusing to Po'alim. Nobody knew what time it was. All of a sudden, the sun would simply disappear from the sky. There's all this plenty of time. And then the sun, you don't know whether you're going forwards or backwards. And now you see it's only 2 o'clock. It's in the afternoon or the morning. So in the Mela, wouldn't be a very good idea if you're on the road not to know when it's going to turn dark. Or you're working, you don't know what time the day is finished. So mishum po'alim, mishum avrei drachim. Come on, the earth's got to, it's got to have a time clock up there.
When the sun was put for that reason.
Right? The sun was put for that reason
for. Hey, we're talking about the cosmic mechanism of the universe, and we care.
We're not talking about cosmos. We're talking about the problems on some little planet somewhere. Why is it arranged this way? Normally, Antonidas the Rebbe. But what point does a person have a soul? The old Christian question. Is it mishat pkidah? Is it from conception? Or is it mishat yitzirah? Is it from the time at which there's already a meaningful organism there in the fetus? Mishat yitzirah. It's only called a fetus after it's already fully formed. Marley, so Antonina said, but that can't have anything to do with neshama. It's clearly live before. Because Tefshach Hatichasho Basaro Merech Loshayamim Balo Melach Veinam Nesarechet. You ever saw a piece of meat sitting around for 3 days that isn't alive? It doesn't deteriorate? So how could whatever it is that this proto-fetus not be viewed as alive? It has to be alive. Or it wouldn't be able to continue to survive.
Why the blow
melach? That's not melach. It's the most misarachat material there is. Elamishat pkidah. It's got to be that it has life in it from the time of conception. Tavaza limdani Antoninus. This is something that Antoninus taught me. And the truth is, mikram misayeo. The raya from the pasuk is indeed lacking. Shema, ufkudatcha shamra ruchi. It's your pekida that was shomer my ruach. In other words, you see from the time of the pekida, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this shall be so and so, and then that already was ruchi, was already bitocho, already had connection to this thing. Barley Antoninus the Rebbe, mi'imatai yetzer harashalit ba'adam. This already was a leading question, because Esav, after all, was sitting there in the womb and was beating up on Yaakov. And if this was a sign of the Yetzirah, then he had a pretty big problem. So he said, so tell me, you believe that there's the Yetzirah in the womb? I asked you, is it Mishat Yetzirah or Mishat Yetziyah? Does he have a Yetzirah while he's a fetus? Does he have a Yetzirah only once he's born? Marley, so Rebbe said, well, man, as far as Mishat Yetzira, as soon as he's formed, he has already Yetzira, it's part of his formation. Marley, so Antonita said to Rebbe, in King Boyd, the aim of Yosef, if he had a Yetzira, then he would search for independence even at that date. And if he searched for independence at that date, then he would do his darnest to destroy his own mother, and you'd never be able to get a pregnancy to go full term. Lamaisa, that's what Asa, that's exactly what Asa did. Asa destroyed his mother's uterus. But it's very interesting that this actually.
He didn't do a chastity.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not saying, but it's beautiful. So, but it's interesting that this is actually the basis of all of what goes on during pregnancy, is that it's actually a battle between the fetus, the foreign organism, and the mother, and all of the structures of pregnancy, the whole evolution of pregnancy is essentially the result of this battle. And to some extent, the fetus takes over the mother's body, is bad for the mother, and they have to reach a balance as to how much the parasitic fetus can steal and how much the mother can afford to allow. Everything, it's every last element is a very familiar. Of course, when it goes out of order, it's bad news. So I mean, all of the development of these ideas of separating out the blood contents and so on, and autoimmunology and everything else is a very complex thing, and that's exactly what Antonius is saying. So it'd be a boedimo. The AMO, if you're going to provide him also with will, then none of this is going to work. All of these systems are not going to work against will. So he would destroy his mother. It must be Mishat Yitziyah. Omar Rebbe's Rebbe said, you know, he's right. The Vazeling, Dani Antoninus, Umikra Misayo, he's right from the Pasuk too, which I missed. It says, Lepetach Chatat Roveitz, at the gateway of the world, after the child enters the world, that's where chatat is waiting. But there's no chatat in the womb, which means that the story of Rivka's pregnancy was only symbolic. It wasn't that they were actually fighting with their Yetzer Hara. Reish Lakish Rami.
Why does the Gemara bring these things? Shows that Rebbe isn't so smart.
The relationship with Rebbe and Antoninus is not a very important thing.
He's been defeated by a boy.
Yitzchak Avinu didn't see this, and Rivka wasn't given this as a Shnei Geim B'Vitnech, refers to these two people, Rebbe and Antoninus. And here they're arguing about the Bethan. What do you expect? It's unbelievable. You know, centuries later, those two Geim B'Vitnech have to work out what happens in the Bethan. An incredible thing. So Reish Lakish points out a contradiction. On the one hand, it says that when the Kahal that comes back to life, it comes to Yerushalayim, they will have Ivrim, Mempischim, and be as if they were part of the whole life that they once had, whether they're blind or lame or pregnant or whatever it is. And on the other hand, it says, the Piseach will be jumping around like an Ayal. The mute will be singing beautiful songs. Which appears that there's no such thing as limitations. It must be that initially the Mesim expressed their Mumim, and then they become Mitrapim. Ula points out a contradiction. On the one hand, it says, Bila ha-mavet la-netzach u-macha Hashem dim'a mi'al kopanim. So Bashba, that no one will die. On the other hand, it says, Ki ha-na'ar ben me'ah shana yamut. If somebody dies at 100, it'll be a great tragedy. He'll be dying as a youngster. Lo-yamisham odol yamim. So it won't be considered anymore that that the days are turn people old, but there is death. Lo kasha, kan be Yisrael, kan be de kochavim. That's for the goyim. They will die. They'll die at a late age. Goyim, what are they doing there? What do we need them for? What do we need them for? You never heard of a Shabbos guy? The famous story of the guy who from the shtetl goes into the big town, looks around, he sees mamish, it's a whole town full of games. He said, how many Shabbos guys do you need? So it's from those that said, that it says in the Pasuk, v'amdu zarim me'uru'ut somechem, uvnei nechari chechem v'chor mechem. You gotta have somebody doing the dirty work, right? Rav Chista Rami. Rav Chista points out a contradiction. On one hand, it says, v'chofra ha'vanau v'osha ha'chama, k'malach Hashem tzvakot. Mashma, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech, that the levana and the chama are completely bottled. It's like a busha. On the other hand, it says, "Vayahor levanat yorachama, yorachama yeshivatayim, kol shivatayamim." Much, but on the contrary, there's a giddel in the output of the chama and the levana, and it's a covet. Look, Hashem, kam yimot haMashiach, kam olam haba. Depends whether you're talking about olam haba. It's bosha. There's nothing there at all. Yimot haMashiach. There's a sense of aggrandizement of the levana and the chama. And what about according to Shmuel, who holds Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yimot HaMashiach Al Shibud Galuyot? According to Shmuel, there's no difference in nature between Olam Hazeh and Yimot HaMashiach. So how would he explain the pasuk? Well, he would say Kan B'Machaneh Tzadikim and Kan B'Machaneh Shechinah Ein HaChinami. Both are talking about Olam Haba, but there's Dargis in Olam Haba. So in the Machaneh Shechinah, there's no basis for anything else except the Gilui HaShechinah. Rava Rami. Rava points out a contradiction. On the one hand, it says, I have taken life, and I give life back. On the other hand, it says, I have crushed, and I will heal. So the first is mashma, that whatever life I took, I will give back. Which apparently, if he died as a chiger, an iver, so I'll give it back. He'll come back to life as a chiger, an iver. But here it says, I will cure whatever was broken. So it explains Rava, that's the pshat. Mashani me mit ani mechayet. First of all, I will give back your life as was. V'hadar, and then mashu mechasti ani arpa. Then I will repair what I had crushed. So the Rabban, ani amit v'achayet. Let's say we just read that part of the pasuk. Ani amit v'achayet. So I could think, yocho shetei mita be'achad v'chayim be'achad. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meimit, Joe, and Mechayeh, Shmo. I mean, there's always people taking the place of people that die. That's the way the world goes. Talmud Lomar, therefore, continues on to say, Machatzti v'ani afer. Just like the Mechitzav Rufuaz Be'achad, so too the Mitzav HaKayim Be'achad. Just like you understand that obviously Machatzti v'ani afer, you can't cure someone else but the person that had the disease. So too, you don't bring to life other than the one that you have been made meet. It means the same individual. Mikan teshuvah lomrim ein tzchiyat hamitim min haTorah. This pasuk is clearly saying that there's such a thing as tzchiyat hamitim. Tzani amar Rabbi Meir, minayim tzchiyat hamitim min haTorah, shenemar az yashir Moshe b'nei Yisrael v'shirah zot Hashem. But what do you mean yashir? No, it's yashir shar lo nemar. Hello, Yashir. They will sing. In other words, in the future, they will sing. Mikam utchiyat amitim haTorah. So apparently, this singing that they're doing now is to occur in the future. It must be that there's a future for that. Can't say, but then you have the same thing. It says, Az yivne Yoshua mizbeach l'Hashem. What's the pshat over there? Banalo ne'emar, ala yivne. Again, yivne is the pshat. Mikam utchiyat amitim haTorah. New one. It says, "Az Yivne Shlomo Bama Lekmush Kutz Moab." So that means, "Om Haba Shlom Hamalach is going to come and build a mizbeach for an Aved Zorah." Oh, Chinami Di Yivne. Now the pshat over there is Male Alav Katuv Ki Ilu Bana. So whatever it is that the person is chaser, it's as if it's an ongoing thing. That's the eternal. Om Rav Yishur Min Levi Minayim Tzviata Mitim in Torah. Shinemar Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha Od Yahalalucha Tzelo. It's called Yahalalucha in the future. It doesn't say Yilalucha that those who are Yoshev in your home are Mahalal Yusuf. They will be Mahalal. Mikan Uzgat Amitim HaTorah. Yom Rebbe Yishur Min Levi Kol ha'omer shira ba'olam hazeh, someone who is zocha to sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, zocher ba'omra ba'olam haba, shenemar ha'ashrei yoshvei beitecha od yalalu chasela, they will again, or still, sometimes if they had done it before, they will continue to do so. Omri b'chir barav omri b'yochana, minayin l'tziyat ha'mikimin ha'torah, shema kol tzofayech nas ukol, Yachtov Yiranenu. What does this mean, Yiranenu? But all of your Nevi'im lift up their voice and together they will sing. When will they sing? That together they sang, you could say. Rinanolo Nema, that's not what it says. It says Yiranenu. Mikanu Siyata Mitim in HaTorah. You see, again, must be some type of integrative process in which they're all able to be Miranen at some point in the future. So must be Mikanu Siyata Mitim in HaTorah. He also pointed this out, that it's not that each individual Navi will be Miranein again. It's that they are become integrated into one voice. Somebody who doesn't tell over a Talmud, a halacha, that he knows that he needs to have, it's as if he steals from him his own inheritance. Shnema Torah Tzivala Nu Moshe, Morashaki Elat Yaakov. So it's a morashah, it's an inheritance. L'kol Yisrael Misheshit Yimei Bereshit, that's Bereshit Bara Elokim, that's Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reshit, that's Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reshit, is supposed to be together. And if that's the case, then that's his from the very beginning. That's the ultimate nachala, and you're stealing it from him. Omar Rav Chana Bar Bizlam Rabbi Shimon Chasida Kol Amonei Alacha Mipitamid Afilu Ubarim Shibimei Iman Mekalavinoto. Now we kind of get back to the sugya of Rabbi Van Berinus. We're back to the Ubarim, which the whole thing started with. So here, even the Ubarim curse a person like that. Shinema Monea Bar, one who prevents the Tvu'ah, which we'll see is a reference to Torah, Yikbuhu, they will be cursed by Le'om. Now Le'om is used for a fetus, because that's exactly what Rivka saw in her Nevi'ut. Le'om mi Le'om ye'amatz. So Elom elo ubarim, Shema Le'om Le'om ye'amatz, and Yikov is a lashon of Kava, which is the lashon of klala, because in kavah la klashon emar ma'akov lo kavael. And what is this bar? Bar is clearly Torah. The in bar el Torah, we know Torah is always called tvuah. Shema nashku bar pen yane. You better have that Torah close to your mouth, because otherwise God will be angry.